All right, we are back. I had some technical issues. You guys that know me well do realize I am not exactly a wizard on the GarageBand or all the different technical stuff that we do here. And I keep it pretty simple. So we did talk about all Jonah's offensive crushes, and now it ends up being a pretty good situation. We can just dig right into his defensive crushes. A name that is difficult to pronounce, but you're hearing a lot of late, is Hercules Mataafa from Washington State as an edge guy. Tell me more about him.
Yeah, so Hercules Mataafa is one of the biggest oddities in this draft to me. He's 6'2", 245 pounds, and he played basically nose tackle three technique for Washington State. I mean, this is unheard of.
Yeah, right.
So he's one of those hybrid defensive linemen who can move around, played all over the front, is one of the quickest first steps in all of college football. I mean, this guy, he gets upfield quickly. No guard can handle him. It's just he's so disruptive. The one thing you have to worry about is that he doesn't really know how to use his hands yet because he was always beating with his quickness. So he didn't have to use his hands as much. And also, he only played 9 snaps off the edge this year. But I think when you want to look at him as an edge player, you have to watch the 2016 tape where he played more off the edge and he showed more of that bend and he showed more winning on some of the counter move. So you can see Hercules Mataafa with his traits. And you look at him when he's able to beat offensive linemen the way he does, I think it's going to translate well for him. I think he's a much better athlete than people give him credit for, too. People see him play defensive tackle, they're like, oh, wow, he's not going to be a great athlete to play on the edge. Well, if Washington State played him in the right role, they didn't do him any favors. If they played him in the right role, he could have been a top 10 pick. But because they played him at defensive tackle, it's more of a question mark, more of a projection. So to me, someone's going to get a great value in the 30s, 50s, somewhere in that range in the second round, and they're going to get a top-notch pass rusher who can move to edge. You're going to have to work with his technique and his hands a little bit, but with his quickness and with his athletic ability to get around the edge, get inside pass rushers, be a nickel guy who can kick inside and nickel rushes, this guy's one of those players where you can get a legitimate steal in the second or third round.
Yeah, I could see his stock rising here late in the process. This stock, right around now, whenever he starts good three cones and things like that, people are going to be like, oh, I know who he is. A little more of a household name is Taven Bryan, a defensive tackle, Florida guy. Tell me more about him.
Yeah, so Taven Bryan is one of those guys, another great athlete. Look at him at the under tackle position, the three technique. He's really a guy who gets upfield quickly, and that could get to his detriment sometimes. If you watch Bryan a little bit, you can see that he gets out of his gap a little. He gets out of his gap, doesn't really read the run well. He really just wants to get upfield and create chaos. And a lot of the Florida coaches, they wanted him to do that. They kind of said, okay, just do your thing. They didn't cage him up a little bit like the NFL will. So I think when you get his technique down, he's going to be a more efficient player in that regard. You didn't see a lot of production because he was one of those guys creating the chaos. So the people behind him, like C.C. Jefferson and the other guys on the Florida defensive line, could clean it up. Because he was one of those guys that create the chaos and those guys that clean it up for him. That's why you don't see the many tackles for losses or the sack production, but it was always creating disruption. So I think his traits, when you look at his quickness, his ability with his hands, his hand strength, he just moved offensive linemen around. This is the Georgia game where he just pushed-pulled the opposite guard on the Georgia team, and it was just crazy. It was that in Missouri, Texas A&M. Watch those games. You can see how powerful he is. A lot of scouts are going to – when GMs look at a 20-play cut-up with Taven Bryan, say, so show me the 20 best plays of Taven Bryan, he's going to be a top-10 pick. He's going to be a top-10 player. But when you look at the overall picture of Taven Bryan, you see he has some work to do. But I think a GM or coach or his
coach is like those guys, yeah.
They're going to fall in love with his flashes. They're going to say, give me that player consistently all the time. Make him that kind of player. And I think a guy like Rod Marinelli in Dallas will like him.
Ooh,
I think
yeah.
Several GMs are going to like those guys that have that double-digit pass for potential defensive tackle. Now, double-digit sacks – a defensive tackle is a very rare thing where only the elite players can do. Like I'm talking about the Aaron Donalds, the Geno Atkins, those kind of players. Bryan has that kind of potential, but he also has a low floor. To me, I'm not going to – I have a first-round grade on Taven Bryan because I don't want to be the kind of guy that misses on these traits. I'm going to bet on the traits. I'm going to say some coach can get the best out of him, and I think he has a chance to reach that upside if a coach is able to cage him up a little bit and tell him, more of the run fits, stuff like that, being more of a three-down player. But he has double-digit pass rush, sack potential in this league.
All right. Anyone that listened to last week's show when we talked corners probably has a pretty good idea who your corner crush is. And yeah, I will admit, anywhere that I've looked on the internet, you are higher on Jaire Alexander from Louisville than anyone I've seen. And we probably don't have to spend a lot of time on him because you did kind of give us a rundown last week. I urge people to check that out if they're interested. But give me the 5 cent, you know, description here.
Yeah, so I'm not afraid to go out on a limb on these cornerbacks. Like, I trust my eyes more on this position more so than any other position in, you know, in football to me. It's a position I'm most comfortable with. And to me, Jaire Alexander is the one guy who checked all of the boxes. You might have to watch his 2016 tape because that's where he wasn't banged up. He was healthy all season long, went up against better competition, the Mike Williams of the world, and, you know, all the Jazz when Louisville was one of the top teams in college football, a lot more pressure on the team. So to me, Jaire Alexander, we look at the mindset, competitive. One of the most, you know, one of the things I look for a quarterback, I know it's kind of petty, but you look at the guys like the trash talkers, the guy who gets in the mind of the wide receiver. You have to have that at the cornerback position. I truly do believe that's one of the requisite traits because look at the top cornerbacks, you know, Josh Norman, Richard Sherman, Chris Harris Jr. They all talk. They all try to get in the minds of the receiver. That's what Alexander does. Alexander has the minds of a top number one cornerback in this league. And then we look at the traits, look at the feet. His ability to click and close an off man, the ability to mirror with the receiver in off man coverage and press man coverage, the physicality, get his hands on the receiver, stay in phase, make tackles with line of scrimmage. This guy can do it all. He can do it outside or inside, has great ball skills. I'm not sure there's really a knock on Jaire Alexander. I think the only knock is what you don't see, is the injuries. He has great character, but when you look at his frame, you look at his durability history, it's kind of like Marshawn Lattimore in that regard. So if he was, you know, as big as Lattimore, maybe he would be a slam dunk top 10 pick. He's a top 5 to 6 player on my board, but he won't go that high because he doesn't have that size. He doesn't have the long-term injury reliability that teams want to look for. So he'll probably go in the first round, but he won't go as high as I ranked him because I think he is going to be one of those productive number one corners in the league. I'm not going to pass up on those traits in that portion of the draft.
Yeah, I know you love him. I went out of order on purpose because – for those, not everybody loves it, but I lean this show a little bit Pittsburghish. I mean, I'm not gonna hide that. I was a recruiting assistant at Pitt for 3 years. I'm down at that facility a couple times a week. And oh, by the way, the Steelers need a free safety and a linebacker. Tell me about Jordan Whitehead from Pitt. Hail to Pitt.
Yeah, so Jordan Whitehead's one of my favorite players in this class for a couple of reasons. One, he was Pittsburgh's best playmaker on both offense and defense. It's kind of weird, kind of like Jabril Peppers-ish. You see a guy who carries the ball, goes 80 yards for a touchdown, and you're like, wow, who is that? Oh, that's their starting safety. What? It's kind of weird. But so Jordan Whitehead, I think once you simplify his responsibilities, say, all right, you only have to do the defensive playbook, and you only play this certain position on this side of the ball. I think you're going to see a lot more production from him in terms of, you know, interceptions, tackles, big plays. You don't see the flash plays of Whitehead that you see like on Derwin James tape because Derwin James playing one side of the ball and he has one distinct role for Florida State. Whitehead's doing everything for Penn State, whereas on, you know, or
Pittsburgh. You might not be welcome back there, son.
Pittsburgh, when he plays in the slot, plays center fielder in the box. You know, you play him in one distinct spot, this guy's going to really, you know, thrive in the NFL defense. And I think he's, you know, people are going to compare him to Jabril Peppers because of his two-way background, but he's a much different player. He's a guy who could play center field. He's a guy who can get side on the sideline, you know, with his range, his instincts. A guy who could play man coverage and line up on the slots as a nickel. He can come in the box, and he can also, you know, be an enforcer in the run. He's much more physical than you might think. He doesn't have the ideal size, 5'11", you know, kind of guy, you know, 190. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be that guy who's going to be, you know, player who's like a pseudo linebacker, like a Derwin James, different player. You have a great cover guy who can get really physical with you. I think he has that mindset of a great player in this league. And I think once people see how athletic he is at the combine, he's really going to rise here soon.
Yeah, and I will say it's not like it's inside scoop, but he got himself into some trouble with Pitt, and that'll need to be cleared up. And I will talk to my people and try to find out what I can about that. I don't have any inside information on that, but it's something worth noting about him. And to be very honest, I mean, again, I'm going to steer this a little Steelers here for a minute. The Steelers and Pitt share a facility, and they know more about the Pitt guys than anybody. You know, James Conner came over last year. It wouldn't shock me at all if Whitehead is their second-round pick. And I've been on the air here locally a lot, and I said, All of you think Rashad Evans is going to be the Steelers' first-round pick. I don't think he's going to be there. But Leighton Vander Esch, to me, has a very good chance to be the Steelers' first-round pick. Linebacker, Boise State.
Yep, and I think he's another guy who's going to rise after the combine. People do not know how athletic this guy is. This guy comes from an athletic background. He's only been playing the linebacker position for only a couple of years. You know, this guy wasn't playing linebacker in high school. This guy just, you know, walk on, just starting to learn a position, only a one-year starter. He's still green at the position. And when you look at his first year as starter and first year full year at linebacker, he did this kind of production at Boise State, Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year, you know, bowl game MVP. You wonder how, you know, he's one of the draft's most, you know, ascending players, a guy who's going to keep improving. And that's what you want to see in a prospect. A guy who's, you know, who's not near his ceiling yet. And
he has that Urlacher look about him too.
Yeah. And so like
people don't remember Urlacher returned kicks coming out of New Mexico and was a safety.
Exactly. He was more of a safety kind of player. So when you look at Vander Esch, he played more like traditional Mike linebacker, but I think he's going to play more outside will linebacker, 3-4 inside linebacker. He's not going to play that true Mike in a 4-3. But to me, Vander Esch, you see the sideline to sideline skills. You see a guy who could go up and, you know, smack someone inside the hole, who can blitz, a guy who can really just do it all. He's, you just need to put it all together. He just doesn't have – it's like a mold of clay, you know, a guy who just needs to mold together into, you know, a starting linebacker in this league. Because he has all the traits necessary and the tools to be a starter in this league. You just got to have the trust in your coaching staff to put it together. And to me, that's a first, second-round kind of player. It's not where the Steelers are drafting. So I think it would be a great fit for Pittsburgh in that defense.
Yeah, and one more note on him, and I just want to get your opinion on this, but – It seems to me, from what I've seen, what I've read, and what I know about prospects, and it might not come right away, but he might be, in time, one of those rare guys that you stick on Travis Kelce, you stick on Gronkowski, you know? I mean, maybe not all day long, and he's not going to be Deion Sanders, but he maybe could be one of the body type slash athletes that develops into a very good matchup against athletic tight ends.
Yeah, I think when you look at – I think one of the best traits about his game is his coverage ability. His ability to drop back, play zone, sometimes even play man. I mean, you watch his tape. There's a play against Washington State where the slot receiver went on a, I think it was a little skinny post drop. He turns around and runs straight with him on the hip pocket. You don't see linebackers do that much often. I mean, with that ability, they can't do, you don't see that in the NFL. That's what the NFL wants to value, is the guys who can move, the move linebacker, the outside linebacker, like a Deion Jones kind of player. Vander Esch is not on the caliber of Deion Jones in terms of, you know, that speed, that mobility. But when you look at Vander Esch as an inside linebacker guy who can offer multiple things, I think you could see him being more of a matchup piece in the next level too. Yeah, but he also has traditional linebacker tools. That's why he's kind of one of those special players to me, where, you know, you don't see it consistently enough to where, like, you see the some technical errors, doesn't take on blocks well enough yet, but you see the traits, you see the power, you see the everything you want to see from a starting linebacker who can develop into the number one guy at the next level. You just don't see it consistently enough on tape to be, like, all in on him yet, because it's still a projection. But, like you said, he has kind of, like, that feel to him as a number one kind of player who can be a special kind of prospect. He has the upside to keep getting better and better. That's why I would take him in the late end of the first round where Pittsburgh's drafting.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued with him. And I've kind of already marked my stamp that's who I'm putting my chip down, who's going to be the Steelers' first-round pick. Jono, this was awesome. I don't know exactly how we'll handle next week. You and I will be in touch. I will be traveling, and tomorrow it's going to be a crazy week, and I got a lot of things planned while I'm at the combine, meeting with a lot of people, doing a lot of different things, but I definitely want to get you on at some point next week. Maybe we'll talk safeties.
Yeah, man. I'll have a safety piece out, or NDT scouting, this upcoming week, and we'll be talking about some of the safety comparisons. We can also talk about some combine previews or whatever you want.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. We can do whatever. All right, brother. I appreciate it, and I urge everyone to check out Jono on Twitter, and we will be back tomorrow with Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus, as back to our usual Wednesday routine. Over and out.